It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac.
So we have the Pac-12 championship game on tonight. KJ, is that right?
Yep, right here on 104.3.
Hey, let me give you a little heads up, y'all. You may want to keep your eyes on Caleb Williams from USC, who is a sophomore, so won't be coming out in this draft, but 2024? I don't know, just saying. You death spiral to another 3-14 season. We could be, get that first round pick draft back to Eric. And here's what's got to happen next year. I get it with eggshells and Russell Wilson this year. I do get it.
Yeah.
Not next year. I mean, next year you might have a new coach, new GM.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen.
I mean, the money sucks.
Imagine if they just left everything the same. Imagine that.
I can't imagine that.
Like, oh, we're going to run it back.
Greg and Kerry and Goodell, they're not going to be.
He's best buds, apparently, with Hackett.
Meet with them quite a bit, actually. See Greg and Kerry around a lot, text with them a lot, and have meetings with them weekly, and just kind of talk about everything.
She at recess. Send. Perfect text. Group ding. Ooh. Going out Chipotle. All right. Yes. Happy face emoji. Send. Perfect text.
I don't know what they talk about. What in the world could he be group texting to Carrie and Greg about?
I told you already. They're texting, how'd we do? We won. We scored 30 points.
Well, hold on. Greg and Kerry do go to every game. We have seen them out there with...
they go to every game.
They have been at every game with Dad. They have been with every game. It's been a nice family reunion this fall. Seeing each other every weekend.
Okay, so then what do you... that's a great question then. What is the conversation? Like, how do you...
What do you say? Who are you blaming?
We'll get them next time. We're almost there.
Is this typical, or it happens all the time? In fact, it's mandatory. First year of ownership, your team needs to stink.
Yeah, first year of ownership, first year head coach. We have no choice but to lose.
I thought Russell Wilson was good.
What he's saying is, hey, this is all part of the plan for next year.
Right.
We're going to make them all think we're terrible.
Right.
And the next year, we're going to come out and be awesome.
Right. That guy, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, we didn't want them. We didn't need them. It's all about 2024. It is? Oh, yeah, always. 2024 is going to be amazing. Wait, next year's 2023. Okay.
Right, that's what I meant.
No, but I'm saying they're trying to push it off. But listen, you got to get some competition in here for Russ. One way, by hook or by crook.
Well, listen, competition across the board is good for the team.
All right, let me put it this way. Maybe it's not competition.
I feel like there's not enough competition on the entire team, just the quarterback.
Hey, man, you are not lying. You have to have a plan in place for next year where if things are going lousy and we're looking at JT O'Sullivan tape.
Let's be honest about this thing. There are errors everywhere.
That you have another plan. You just can't sink with the ship again. I mean, I kind of understand you sinking with the ship this year. That it clearly, Derek, is what's going on. We're just sinking together.
Dying a slow death.
All together. There's no alternatives. Russ ain't coming out any games. I'm sorry I said right now. Never mind that, maybe we should have some competition. I'm sorry I didn't make it more clear that there was no competition. We got to stop walking on eggshells around Russell Wilson. Forget it. Them days got to be done. And, we'll play JT O'Sullivan coming up. It was really interesting to watch a guy do a very detailed, non-TMZ, non-gossip, non-birthday party breakdown about Russell Wilson. Didn't have any of that garbage. It was just about football. You'll hear his comments about it next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac.
All right, let me play this JT O'Sullivan thing. So when you were looking at the JT O'Sullivan film breakdown, Derek, what was Well, I'll play the audio, but what was standing out to you that you saw?
Man, it was a play where I think the running back spilled out, and he was like gonna get sacked. He was like scrambling out. He didn't try to avoid the guy at all. He just like lobs the ball in the air, just lobs it. When he has it was a first down. If he just throws it to the running back, it's right in front of him, wide open.
What surprised me were he drifts to his left, and he has happy feet. He just doesn't plant, and he doesn't step up. And what you said, he got hawked. Yeah. He got caught. It was funny when O'Sullivan was reviewing. He was like, well, I guess that DN runs a 4.3. And what O'Sullivan was pointing out is like, he's nervous back there. He's not seeing the field very well. He's not as athletic as he used to be. And his instincts are poor. It's like, where did this all come from? Like, where did this all fall apart? What happened?
What happened, man?
All right, here's what he said about it.
Let's be honest about this thing. There are errors everywhere. But Russell Wilson has as much, if not more, than anybody else. And that's just the truth of the film. And just because there's a couple good plays doesn't take anything away from the sloppy footwork, the weird decision-making, a lot bad. Week 12, Russell Wilson, it's bad, y'all. The film is as bad as I would have thought. I think the nicest way I can put it is that Russell Wilson really looks like almost like a funhouse mirror of what he was. And what that means in a gentle way is that the explosiveness, the change of direction, the playmaking ability, it's just not there. It's not on the film. I think there are some bizarre decision-making elements, whether it's turning down throws, not throwing throws, the vision, not seeing things, throwing the ball out of bounds when there are easy first downs in front of him. Some of the footwork, just shockingly sloppy, a massive amount of wasted movement. But there are still some elements. There's like an outline. You can still kind of see flashes occasionally, but it's nowhere near. It's not even breathing the same air as consistency.
Yeah, man. I as soon as I saw this and watched the review, I was like, oh, we got to get another quarterback.
Yeah, we
but we
it looks so bad because there's a lot of plays. He's leaving plays out there. He's leaving first downs out there. You have receivers that are running, like, you're running routes that are underneath the sticks on a third and short. What are you doing? And then you have the blocking up front is just...
There's a lot of bad.
Horrendous by the tight ends.
Yeah, Dulcich doesn't know what he's doing.
I agree, and that leads me to the question to ask you, Derek. Does he trust what he's seeing in front of him, just period?
I don't think he trusts his teammates.
Oh, yeah, he looks like he's seeing ghosts. He's feeling...
Well, why wouldn't he be? He's got guys all over him. But in this last game, he could have stepped up in that pocket a bunch.
And O'Sullivan pointed that out. He goes, look at this. The pocket's fine. Everything's good here.
Yeah.
However,
his confidence is definitely wavered.
Well, because the offensive line is not consistent like that on every play. So, yeah, okay, that play, it's okay. But on conceivably the next play, it's a complete train wreck disaster. Yeah. So he doesn't know. He doesn't know when it's going to be good and when it's going to be bad. And the problems are, it leaves them, they have to be perfect. They have to be perfect. Here's what you can't have. You cannot drop a pass. You cannot drop a pass. Period. There's too many times where things are going wrong that you can't just let one go through your hands. And guess what? They're dropping passes too.
Yep. It's all around bad. It's bad coaching. It's bad play. You don't have any Pro Bowl players. You don't have any star players on your team anymore.
Yeah, people are asking questions about, well, what would you do? How would you fix it? How would you got to do like 100 things now.
Yeah, it's so many things. It's not just one or two things, three or four things. It's like an entire like scrub.
It used to be one or two things. Back in 2021, it kind of was one or two things. At the beginning of this season, it might have been one or two things. I mean, not now. If you look at Russell Wilson week one against the Seahawks, he's a different looking quarterback. He's got more confidence. He's moving around better. And let's face it, you had some untimely fumbles and then a very bizarre decision, you know, 46 left hash.
I think that messed with his confidence.
I think so, too. We looked at that game and we were critical, like, oh, gosh darn it, and that should have been better, and how did we not win? We didn't know what was steamrolling ahead of us. We should look back on that game like that was like the best of Russ.
Yeah, but we should have looked at that as like a sign of what's to come. Because that's how I felt about it. I was like, wow, how did they lose the Seahawks? They're supposed to be good. They're supposed to be a really good team now.
Well,
that's a game that you think Russell Wilson is going to want to play his best football and win that game no matter what.
It does turn out the Seahawks are better than we all thought. So let's just start there. They are. They're better than everybody thought. The Broncos actually play them really competitively and really well. When you really reflect on this season, hey, man, that was one of their better games. A competitive road game that you put up a few points.
Yeah, but that game was an opportunity for the entire team to rally behind Russell Wilson.
Well, I think everybody...
The coaches, everybody to rally behind,
yes,
right?
Yeah, but...
And create like that, like, you know, like that camaraderie and like, hey, we did it, you know?
They had the moment. Fourth and five, 50 seconds to go, whatever. And you took the ball out of Russ's hand to attempt one of the most insane field goals of all time. Because Hackett didn't have, you know, Uncle Jerry, Dad Jerry up in the box. So he didn't know what he was doing. Because he had an inexperienced coach. Who knew that it would just have such a negative impact from then on? Nobody. Nobody would have guessed that. Because you did get a win the next week because you played the hapless Texans. And then unbelievably, how did this happen?
It was a different team.
How the hell did you beat the San Francisco 49ers?
It was a different team.
So you're sitting there at 2-1, and it's like, well, it's not great, but hey, we're 2-1, and we're kind of all right here, right? Like, we'll get it together. And then you watch this film breakdown by JT O'Sullivan, and we are deep into the season, and you realize, you actually have to blow it up.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see you have to. And that involves everything. That does involve bringing in perhaps a free agent quarterback and drafting a quarterback in the fourth, fifth round. It does involve that. And as much as it would suck to put that much money on the bench, you cannot just go through another season like this if he doesn't give you the best chance to win. You cannot do it.
And he will, though.
It won't be the same next year as it is this year.
We're going to have that's the thing. If they have new coaches in there, like, he's going to be the guy.
Well, initially, yeah. But they're also going to have other plans. It won't go without, you know, having some sort of other plan. Like, right now, they're on eggshells. There are no other plans. And they put themselves in an absurd situation with Josh Johnson and Brett Rypien that it's, you know, it's really, they're not even talking about it.
No.
However, they did work out a quarterback today, Josh Dobbs, right? So they worked out Josh Dobbs. So I wouldn't be stunned if they throw him on the practice squad.
Is that Mike White?
Well, maybe. I mean, it certainly isn't Brett. Why is Brett Rypien on the team? Why is he on the team?
I felt like Johnson played better than him in the preseason.
I know. I don't even know why.
He made big plays. He drove down on the Bills starting defense and got a field goal. Like,
why don't they have a quarterback on the practice squad? What is going on? Why isn't inherently there's no competition? There's nothing to make Russ feel uncomfortable at all.
There's no competition anywhere on that team. They didn't do a good job of getting bench players, you know, like backup players to come on the field.
All right. No offense, Friday. Deion Sanders coming to Boulder? Maybe. Boy, huge rumors.
Or Bearcats.
They apparently are number two.
Or South Florida.
You know, that's just the Andrew Mason sort of deal at this point, I think.
No, because South Florida, it was, listen, before Cincinnati was in there.
Do you want Deion? Would you be doing a bit of a victory lap if he ended up in Cincinnati?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But are you guys struggling? I don't even know. What's going on with the Bearcats?
They just lost Luke Fickell.
Well, okay, but I mean, are you terrible?
No.
Do you understand what's happening in Boulder?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you want to go there?
That's fair. I don't know, actually. I mean,
why would you want to go there?
I mean, I have been to Cincinnati. The
Nasty Natty.
Yeah.
But he's familiar with Cincinnati.
No, he's had his day there. That's another reason to stay away. Well, we know he hasn't been to Boulder because he talked to his best friend about it. All right, 303-713-1043. We're not trying to bum everybody out. In fact, just the opposite. Let's light it up a little bit and get you fired up for the weekend.
There was a game for you to come out and shock the world. It's this one.
That's right. Well, we can get fired up. You never know. It's in any given.
It's professional football, man. Like, everybody on the field is good.
Any given Sunday, dude. And you know the Ravens are looking past the Broncos, three of their next four.
I don't know, man.
Oh,
no,
they're looking past.
They don't do that.
Listen, I'm trying. I am trying.
I was there for 2 years. I know that they don't look past anybody.
This is the Drive on the Fan.
to Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac.
Hello, Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for you for a long time. You just saved me.
Oh, man.
When my life came crumbling down. And you know you're gonna leave me.
Oh, man, Friday. Are you kidding me? Turn it out.
What? Your boy Flo Rida.
Turn me up.
Yeah, jump, baby. You look brighter than this thing on my arm, baby. Yeah. Party every time you come around, baby. Like if you're down, baby, I can be the ground, baby. Hit me running. Ain't nothing looking better than when I see you coming. Ain't another feeling better than when I'm blowing.
There's walking in the crib and everything.
I'm addicted to money. I'm addicted to balling.
There's walking in the crib and everything.
You know what that is?
No, what is that?
That is KJ Hamler talking to Jerry Jeudy about Colorado because neither one had been there. And he said, what were you saying to Jerry Jeudy? What do you know about Colorado?
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
That is actually KJ Hamler.
Talking about bears. The bears can smell the menstruation.
What's up, bro?
Jerry Jeudy, baby, let's go.
Can you clear things up? Did you shoot yourself in that incident?
Oh, man, what the situation is still under review. And
okay.
It's under review.
So we can have a good time today. Just turn it up a little bit. 303-713-1043.
Hey, did you see that, who is it, Ronaldo, the offer that he got from?
I heard about it.
$700 million.
For how many years?
I don't know.
Like, that's the contract.
You know how much he gets paid per post for Instagram?
Oh, well, you told just me. So you told me, so that'd be cheating. But
it's
go
like
ahead.
$1.7 million. That's wild. But anyways, yeah, so Saudi Arabia, I guess, offered him a $700 million contract. Who cares for how long?
I saw an interview with him, and he said he didn't know how many cars he had.
No, he doesn't know. He's got a bunch. It's got three garages full, probably.
I think
I got 15, 16, 20, 25. I don't know.
Brazil lost to, like, I think Brazil lost, like, Cameroon today in soccer.
Wow.
Yeah, they did. But it
doesn't matter, though.
Yeah, like, Brazil advanced anyway. So
I like I love how soccer players always act like they're going to fight. They never actually fight.
No, come on.
They just act like it. Like, they act like, I'm mad. I'm really mad. And then nothing happens.
Well, nothing would...
Oh, yeah? Well, here's a yellow car.
Here's 135 pounds of fists of fury in your face. On the Twitter machine here, remember when Mark Schlereth said it was a done deal on draft night that Aaron Rodgers was going to be traded to the Broncos? Yeah, you missed that. That was something else. So this was the 2021 draft. 2021 draft? Yeah, it was Pat Surtain. Right? Yeah. Sting comes on. We're doing live draft coverage. Sting comes on. He goes, it's happening. It's going to happen. It's all but done. Rodgers to the Broncos. And they had just gotten Teddy Bridgewater the day before. He had Drew Lock. And we're like, really, Mark? And I think Mark was actually talking to Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, it's done. It's going to happen. I mean, something like that. Language along that line.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were like, are you sure? It's hard being a reporter.
I mean, it's hard, like Aaron Rodgers is having a great season.
Oh, I know. But we give Mark a hard time. He also wanted to give, like, he wanted to give Trevor Siemian, like, $100 million because Trevor had, like, three good games.
Who did?
Mark.
Really?
You know, like, $10 million per or something like
what?
That. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm on crazy pills.
We've had some wild times around here about quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know. It's been an absolute disaster.
So here's why I bring this up. Sua Cravens. Huge updates. My sources are saying...
When did he post this?
11:45 today. Just so a couple hours ago. A few hours ago. My sources are saying, and he's working for USC. And USC's playing Utah tonight in the Pac-12 championship. Right here on the Fan. My sources are saying not only is Coach Prime to Colorado a done deal, but Coach Sanders plans on bringing a new defensive coordinator from Alabama staff. Expected announcement from either Colorado primetime this weekend or early next week. Pac-12 is getting interesting.
Because it's been so uninteresting for...
Well, it's been a drag, man. I mean, they've had, like, at CU, I think, what is it? They've had two winning seasons in 16 years.
God. How is that even possible?
Nobody actually knows. Have you ever been up to CU?
No.
It's really nice.
No reason to go to Boulder.
Oh, come on. For what? It's beautiful.
Okay, cool. It's beautiful and fair play.
So I heard your boy Brady Quinn arguing earlier this morning.
My boy.
Yes.
That's your boy?
Brady's my boy?
Yeah, he's your boy. I heard him arguing earlier that so when recruits fly into DIA and then they have to drive up to Boulder, that's like an hour. He was saying, is there a way that Boulder and CU can make that a little bit more accessible to get recruits in and out of Boulder?
Dude, it's so funny you bring that up. So my son was on a recruiting baseball trip to Northern Colorado. And there was a family from California, and all the mom could talk about, it's up in Greeley, all the mom could talk about was, how is my kid going to get from here to the airport?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, first of all, the Denver airport is like, I mean, dude, it's so far out there. Like, it is out of control.
It's like, you figure it out. She would not stop talking about it. And the kid did not, he was committed. He was on, like, it was like a recruiting, you're already coming. He decommitted. And we really think he decommitted because the mom couldn't figure out how to get him from the airport to the campus.
But why did they build it all the way out there?
Well, why are the tunnels there?
Why are those tunnels out there?
Yeah, I mean, we all know.
What kind of secret bunkers are going in there?
We know the real reasons.
NORAD's not far.
No.
Real sketchy, boys. That's all I'm going to say.
You didn't get your passcode?
What passcode?
Ooh, okay. We're going to talk to... Sorry, awkward. We're going to talk to Bobby Trissette. He is a Ravens insider, and we'll hear from him coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac.
Let's go! Apple-bottom jean boots with the fur. The whole club is looking at her.
A few minutes, the Nuggets get going in Atlanta. See how they do on the road. They've been hot. They've won four in a row. Avalanche got a really weird, wild win yesterday. It was like 100 penalties. They won 6-4 in Buffalo with a humongo game on, a real fun game on Saturday against the Bruins, who may be the hottest team in hockey right now. Scrappy Will Peterson will be along at 5:30 to help preview that one. So we're looking forward to that.
Hey, what I liked about that was last night's show that when the Stars need to step up, they can. Because Georgiev, he's going through a little bit of a stretch. I think
that was weird, man.
Yeah, I think that mentally he's going to need a break here soon. So,
yeah, I don't know what – it was weird. It was weird-ass game
man,
last night.
That was by far the weirdest one they played this season.
They won, though.
They did.
They won. So, you don't. Man, those were the days back in the day, Derek. Payton, you guys won, but it was kind of a weird game how you won. It was like, do you know how hard it is to win in the NFL?
It's hard.
It's hard. It's like, we don't take any of these for granted.
We don't. Really. Every win is.
Yeah, but Payton, I mean, you know. Why was the game close? I think that's the way it is.
Because it's the NFL.
It's kind of the way it is with the Bills right now. Like 24-10, whatever.
24-10.
It almost feels disappointing. That's how good they are.
I mean, it was an away game for them.
How about Mac Jones
in Foxborough
cussing out his coaches?
Yeah.
How about
he said,
that?
Throw the ball. Run game sucks.
Quick game.
Oh, he said quick game.
Whatever that is. Yeah, quick game. There were a lot of lip readers breaking that one down.
A quick game is like quick throws, like three-step drop.
Let's throw the ball. Quick game sucks. There you go, Mac. A little spicy there, Mac. Mac Jones.
Showing some emotion.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
And on the game last night, they showed that at one point, the locker room, the quarterback room for Alabama was Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, and Tua Tagovailoa. Like, they had photo of, like, these guys together in the locker room. And so it's like, wow. Yeah, that's pretty good right there. Three starting quarterbacks in the NFL were all in the same quarterback room at one time in college. That's nuts.
Remember Alabama had all those running backs, all those Heisman-winning running backs in the same running back room?
It's Alabama, man.
It's wild.
How does Alabama squirm their way into the national? I don't know. They're going to be in trouble this year.
They're going to be forced.
What's your best memories about being in Baltimore?
My best memories?
Yeah. Being a Raven.
I'll have to say the deer hunting.
Oh, come on. Football-wise.
No, football-wise, man. We had a good, we had an awesome group of dudes, dude. Like that team, the team that we had in 2020, I thought we had the opera. I thought we had a chance to win it all.
What happened then?
COVID.
What did that do to screw you guys up?
Dude, we played so many games without starters, without the whole, like, just because they were close contact or had the sniffles or something like that.
Was it significantly different compared to other teams, though? I mean, did you guys, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I know that the strength coach got the entire team sick.
Well, you had the Wednesday game, right?
Yeah, that got pushed and pushed and pushed, and finally they're like, I guess we're playing on Wednesday.
Is that wild?
Dude, it was wild because, like, right before we go get on a plane, Harbaugh brought us, like, a little leadership group up, and we were like, what's going on? And he's like, hey, just letting you know, the two more people from the Pittsburgh Steelers just tested positive again.
So you didn't even know. You guys might not even play.
Yeah, and we were like, okay. And he's like, they're telling us if we don't want to go play, then we shouldn't play. And I'm like, no, we're going.
Did you guys have kind of a team vote?
It wasn't even a vote. It was like, dude, we're here at the airport.
Do you know the Avalanche actually went through that last year in Nashville? They really did run it past the team because so many guys were missing. They actually took basically a team vote. Do you guys want to play or not? And they ultimately said yes. They lost because they were, you know, it was weird.
We lost too.
What did the Ravens do better than most teams? What is it about their culture that separates them from other teams?
It's, you know, I mean, ownership over there is awesome. And the front office
you can feel it?
Yeah, their front office is like, they care about you. You know, Eric DaCosta is one of the best GMs I've ever been around, you know. I've been around a ton of them, but, you know, as far as, you know, caring about his players and wanting what's best for his players, and putting the players first, that's what he's about. Their motto over there is that it's about the players. Like, players are the ones that win the football games.
Bobby Trossett from the Ravens Vault podcast joins us now. And, Bobby, how's the week been for the Ravens? How are they doing health-wise?
Well, it's funny, right? Because I'm sure patience is thinning out your way, or maybe it's already...
It's gone. It's gone, Bobby.
It's over. Yeah, it's straight up gone. And it's just funny. Derek knows this. I mean, patience is thinning here with the offensive coordinator within the fan base, even though I think it's sort of just a lazy narrative take. That doesn't mean he's been perfect. That doesn't mean he's been great situationally or even with some
talking
of
about
their,
Greg Roman.
Their clock.
Wait, hold on a second. Do the fans know their team is 7-4?
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? So I think it's a great reminder with Denver being on the schedule of how good they have it.
Right.
Let us be the reminder.
Stop complaining.
Things are not that bad.
Yeah.
We're not that
bad.
You know
what's funny, too? What's funny is that we had Stoke on a couple nights ago, and he just came in and gave us a great temperature for how you're all feeling out there. Like, he was just ripping them. And I'm thinking to myself, the Ravens haven't been blowing anybody out this year. They've been playing down to competition in a sense. We've seen that the last couple weeks, even though I think Jacksonville's probably better than their record indicates. So this whole, like, get right game narrative thing, I'm not sold on that. What about you guys?
Oh, I think, well, listen, you blew it against Jacksonville. That was a bad loss.
Well, they've blown a couple leads.
Yeah, but you're still...
Four of them.
Four, yeah.
All right. Well, you guys do have to be careful because the Bengals are playing much better and they could pass you by if you're not careful. So to us, we are hoping because you have three division games in the next 4 weeks after the Broncos. Is there any chance they could be looking past the Broncos?
Oh, who knows?
Not coming off a loss, they're not.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. They're still a little bit banged up, you know, and there's the sense that, like, okay, you know, speaking of get right, are they going to get right now that December football's here, you know, in the next month or so with Dobbins hopefully coming back and Stanley kind of nursing that ankle that he retweaked a few weeks back. So there is this sense. I think the optimist in me says, wow, like, They have, and Dan Orlovsky said this earlier this week. I couldn't agree more. They're 7-4, having played like C plus B minus football. We haven't seen A level football in Baltimore this year, and yet they're top of the division with Cincy owning the tiebreaker right now, entering Week 13. There's a lot to like, but Derek, you know this fan base. They're up in arms about some of the offensive deficiencies, and some of that is deserving.
Yeah,
but
they don't like Greg Roman.
27 points. Yeah, right. When you put up 27 points on a Jacksonville team, that should be enough if it weren't for surrendering 18 to a Jaguars team that his defense had zero answer for in the fourth quarter.
Well, the one thing the Ravens do seem to struggle with are big impact plays. Everything else seems actually all right, but you give up big passing plays like out of nowhere. Why is that?
That might be a question for Derek, because we saw that a little bit last year. But
last year last year was just like riddled with injuries. The most injured team in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, but think about it for a second. Right. You're second in the league against the rush, right? Pretty good. You're fifth in the league with sacks. Oh, all right. Pretty good. You're 27th in the league giving up passing yards. So,
well, that's because we, like with Wink Martindale, we were sending a crazy all-out blitzes all the time.
Well, yeah. Right. That should not be the number right there. So for whatever reason.
Well, that's what you give up to have all those other things with the sacks and everything. Because, like, go look at who has the sacks. It's not all D linemen. It's linebackers and DBs. It's spread out across the board.
Right. Right. Yeah, they've and I got to give Mike McDonald some credit for some of those blitz packages, because Queen's been eaten this year. And Marlon's been eating at times. He's playing at an all-pro level.
Oh, yeah, all-pro Marlon.
You know, I gotta ask you, I mean, not to flip this interview around here, but a lot of people are wondering, you know, what led to Wink's departure and...
Oh, when did they let go of Wink?
Why Mike...
What year is that?
I don't... That was... This year is the first year.
Wait, you mean the Broncos let go of Wink or the Ravens
the
let
Ravens.
Go of Wink? Oh, all right. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Right.
And that's the thing. I don't know. I feel like he got blamed for all the injuries somehow. It's so weird, man. Right. I don't even, like, I could get into it and tell you what I think is going on over there and why they're always so injured. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, who's running the weight room. And that was my beef. I've never had beef with a strength coach ever in my life. Those are usually my favorite guys. You know, and he was ultimately the reason why I couldn't play football anymore.
I was going to say, how's that hip doing now?
It's doing good. I was able to, you know, when you get out of the league and you're not worried about PED tests, you can take things that, you know, different kind of peptides and stuff.
Dude, what are you kidding? If the Ravens needed a guy for like 3 weeks in the playoffs, throw a couple dollar bills under Derek's nose. He's good for 20 plays.
Let me say this, too, because you were dragged by this fan base. To me,
you were? Were you really?
Yeah.
Why?
They dragged because they didn't. You know why? Because John Harbaugh. You know why? It's because Harbaugh got up there and was like, I don't know what's going on with Wolf. When he knew damn well what was going on.
Was he implying you were soft?
I don't know. He was implying that I just didn't want to play football when I was doing everything I possibly could to get back on the field. I was 2 weeks away from getting back on the field. They put me in the weight room with that strength coach. I couldn't walk again. Couldn't walk. I was dragging my leg around again. After I got stem cell therapy, I got epidurals on my back. I did everything I could to get back on the field. And then all they had to do was wait for 2 more weeks of me. And I was training. I was just doing my own program because his program didn't work for it. Just didn't work for me. I was an 11-year vet, 10-year vet, man. Like, I don't need that kind of, like, the crazy stuff you got going on here, like, is not going to work for me.
I'm feeling a headline on the Ravens.
Peel back the curtain.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so Derek, peel back the curtain for me, if you will, though, because I think what put it over the edge, and you're right, the Harbaugh comment, I remember that.
No, it was me carrying a bear down a mountain.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry, what? So,
but people don't understand is that I had the surgery. I did 6 months of rehab, and I had to get my the left side or the right side strong enough to support my weight and prove to the doctors and stuff that I could handle doing the other one, because they can't do them both at the same time, and you're just being a wheelchair and you'll never heal right.
Okay.
So then he goes after 6 or 7 months we're going to do the left side. So that was 2 weeks before I did the left side. So I was I was feeling really good, you know, like I was feeling like strong and good. I was doing rehab twice a day. Like I was doing everything I possibly could. And then ultimately he said, after he looked in there and did all the cleaning up, he was like, If you keep playing, your hips are going to have to be replaced. So both of them will have to be replaced.
What
in
point
a,
was there
a
photo of you carrying a bear down the mountain?
I put it on. I put it online,
and people killed you for that.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't care.
Like, and I respect you for that. I owe you an apology. I was the one that put that on Twitter, so my bad there, nerd.
It's all right. I don't care. I really don't. I really. People are going to be mad about it. They could be mad all they want, but they don't know what I was going through. They don't know what I was trying to do to get out there.
Off season too, right?
Exactly. Like, I did everything to get back and healthy. And I had to do another surgery regardless, so it didn't matter. The right side was already healed. The left, the labrum was already ripped off the bone on the left side. The right side was healed. It didn't matter what I did. Couldn't hurt it any worse.
So, D-Mac, the reason why I bring it up is...
Yeah, I just want to say you're welcome for the most interesting Ravens Vault podcast of all time right there.
For real. The reason why I brought it up, though, was because that then the photo surfaces, Harbaugh's comments, all that stuff. Derek was, in my opinion, unjustifiably getting just dragged online, and the portions of his fan base were speaking out the sides of their, you know what, not knowing.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that. Just to speak for you, Derek. Derek is incredibly beloved here in Denver. Like, the fans never had negative. I don't think. I mean, did you ever get beat up by the Denver fans?
No.
Right, so, like, here's the happy place. Here's it's you know, like, Happy Gilmore with, you know, beer and waitresses and pools and everything. Like, it's nice here in Denver. Derek didn't get any of that crap here. So when
In 2020, they loved me because I was the number one run stopper in the league.
In Baltimore.
Yeah, and I paid the price while everybody was sitting on COVID. Remember. I was playing 60 snaps a game in my ninth NFL season at, you know, 31 years old.
I think fan bases in general are slow to accept veteran players that they think are just joining a team to get a ring and just aren't not really part of the team.
That wasn't what I was doing. Like, I wasn't trying to collect a check. Like, that's not in my nature. Right. Like, I was there to play football and play at a high level, man. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And then, you know, the other, you know, Joe Collin being out of there, like, you know, I don't know. It was just, I felt very, like, odd man out. They made me feel like the odd man out.
But that's my point. I think that happens to a lot of veteran guys that go on to another team, sort of like, well, I can glom on to something here. That sometimes it works out really well. When DeMarcus Ware joined the Broncos here, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, it worked out for Calais.
Oh, there you go. But a lot of times the guys are looked at as outsiders. They don't fit in. You're not really part of the team, X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And especially if you're carrying a bear down the mountain and people think you're hurt.
Yeah, and here's the Bobby. The other thing, man, is the team did not have my back when it came to the vaccine stuff. They did not have my back. They let them fine us. They let them fine us and treat us like we were just like second class citizens. Really, they segregated us. They tried to fearmonger us. It was bad. Like, I just felt like I was being attacked every single day. I walked in that building. I got attacked because I wouldn't get vaccinated.
This is back. You're taking us back to like the beginning of the 2020 season now, or that offseason.
No, 2021.
The 2021 season.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Last year we were going through the whole thing. I mean, last year still. Yeah. So that was. I mean, everybody's playing. It was more regular. There were fans and everything, but the process in the NFL was all the same.
Yeah.
You know, right up until the playoffs.
They told me to lie. My wife was so against it, and like told me, she's like, "You better not get that." I'm telling you, they told me to lie to her. Get it and lie to her. That was their advice.
Not naming names. What type of people in the organization are saying this?
Who do you think?
Yeah.
The coaches in training camp sat up there and said, if we have two guys that are the same ability, one guy's vaccinated, one guy's not, guess who's making the team?
Yeah. But this wasn't just you, right? I mean, Matt Abike, I believe, was in that.
Yep.
Justice, yep. Right? I mean, it's not just you.
Yep. Bobby, they made it impossible to keep yourself healthy.
Bobby,
you couldn't use the facilities. You couldn't use the weight room. What am I supposed to do? Do push-ups and sit-ups? What am I, Bo Jackson?
Bobby, you're the worst guest ever. We've learned nothing about the... we've learned... We don't know
what's funny,
anything.
Too? When Raj called me earlier, I'm like,
yeah.
Listen, man, I've been trying to track down Derek for a long time.
You just got him.
Interviewed it. This was the only way that I could get to him.
Hey, dude.
I'm busy, man.
Dude, you just did it. You just got the headlines.
I'm hunting and doing this and all kinds of, I got all kinds of stuff going on, man.
This was all on the radio. This was all live, so have fun. Knock your socks off.
You know what, D-Mac?
Yeah.
D-Mac, listen, too, like, I wanted to be the guy to be like, hey, listen, nobody in this town right now is giving you a voice. We wanted to be that outlet for him, and he didn't hit me back.
Oh, well, you just got hit.
That's because I didn't know what I wanted to say. I didn't know, like, what? How do I even? I was so mad that people were mad at me. You know,
you just said it.
So I was like,
listen,
and I loved the fans there. Like, I did. I loved them. They showed me so much love as soon as I stepped in that place. And then, like, one thing goes wrong, and they're like, this guy's a thief. You robbed us of money. Like, what are you talking about?
You were the Melvin Gordon of Baltimore.
Yeah, like, I was the Melvin Gordon, right? Like, I was out there losing games for us.
All right, Bobby. You're welcome. We'll talk to you later.
You want me to tell you anything about the team?
I'm scared to have you on any longer. No, we appreciate it, Bobby. We'll talk to you later, bro, okay?
All right, Bobby.
Absolutely.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat from my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats, too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. I'm telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at greatrangebison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.